We stand now at January the 30th. The Gospel is Luke chapter 4, verse 21 through 30, and it breaks into the middle of something. So the background is Jesus has gone to Nazareth and has been asked to preach in the synagogue. He takes the scroll of Isaiah, unrolls it to the 61st chapter and the prophecy that Isaiah gives about the Spirit of the Lord being upon the Messiah to set free and make whole. And so we read, "And he began by saying to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. 'Isn't this Joseph's son?' they asked. And Jesus said to them, 'Surely you will quote this proverb to me, "Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." I tell you the truth,' he continued, 'no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian.' All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way." Lord Jesus, everybody reacts to you. Nobody is neutral. Nobody sits on the fence of their life. Help us now, as we come before you to hear you, to know your word for us and to submit to it gladly, to learn, to grow, and above all, through it, to glorify you. Amen. All the people, we read in the synagogue, were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Why this rage? He was doing so well. Well, Jesus made the mistake politically by stating that God loved Gentiles just as much as he loved Jews. That went clear against the sinfully distorted folk religion of the nation of Israel. Indeed, it took a while for the first Christians to accept that the gospel was for all. You read that they wanted to throw him off the cliff, but he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Why was that? How was that? It was not his time to die. Never forget, God is in charge. God is in charge of his Son and of all Christians. Our days are numbered by God. No wonder the writer says, "Lord, teach us to number our days." In Psalm 139, you have this, talking of our being developed in the womb. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." I pray that you will accept that truth and receive it. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You see how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Paul expands on God's care and oversight. And he's asking, well, what can separate us from the love of God? And he says, nothing. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm reading from Romans 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are in his hand. True disciples are safe and secure both now and for all eternity. Let's go back and look at Jesus's sermon. He raises two examples, the hand of God upon Naaman and the hand of God upon the widow of Zarephath. And both, I believe, are very instructive for us. We'll start with Naaman in 2 Kings 5. He was a soldier. We are told that he was high in the favor of the king of Assyria, that God gave him victory, that he was a valiant soldier. But then we read, but he had leprosy. In scripture, leprosy is used often as a type, an example, an illustration for sin, because leprosy disfigures and it cuts a person off from all others, as sin disfigures our spirit and cuts us off from God. And that, of course, is always the problem with man. I enjoy reading biographies of great people, because without exception, you will find people say, well, they were this, they were that, they did this wonderful thing, they had that wonderful quality, but they had leprosy. They had inner faults and problems that dragged them down. I'm sure you're aware of the great deeds done by Winston Churchill, but it's very obvious that the man was a functional alcoholic for all of his professional life. Churchill did this, Churchill did that, but he was an alcoholic. Now, in some respect, all men are like this because all have sinned. They are this, they are that, but they have leprosy. They have sin. Now, Naaman, suffering as he did, heard through one of the girls that was a captive girl slave that was servant to his wife, that he could be cured by God through Elisha the prophet. So he came to him for a cure and was really offended by the simplicity of the cure. He was simply given a message, go bathe 7 times in the Jordan. And his response is, that's it. That's all. Listen, we have better rivers in my country. I could go bathe in them. But eventually his servants reasoned with him and he relented and did as he was told and he was cured. Naaman, you see, wanted God's cure and something extra. We want salvation. And we are pointed to Christ crucified. But we want something else, something we can do. It's Jesus and something. Whatever God wants of us, we always say, well, he'll help, but we have to do this or that. And the gospel is clear. It is through Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone. When we look elsewhere for more, we never find it. Jesus, you remember, issued the warning in the Sermon on the Mount against the building of the house of your life on the wrong foundation. And he utilizes two men who probably were in the same neighbourhood and probably belonged to the same church, but one built his life on sand and the other one built his house of his life on rock. And of course, in Scripture, the rock is God. Your Christian life begins with Christ alone, and it has to continue in Christ alone. Naaman was cleansed of leprosy, so we are cleansed of our sin and live a life found in him, whole and entire, when we trust only in Christ. And then we come to the widow of Zarephath. Now, she was three strikes and you're out. She was a Gentile, she was a woman, and she was a widow. Therefore, in the terms of the culture, of absolutely no account. And you read of her in 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, there was a great famine in the land, and God sent Elijah to Sidon, to this widow of Zarephath, who God said would feed him. And when he gets to her, he says, you're going to give me something to eat. And the woman says, there's absolutely no way. She says, no way. I have enough oil and flour for one meal for my son and I. And then we're going to curl up in a corner and die. And Elijah says, listen, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. And that is what happened. She kept on pouring oil. She kept on taking flour from the pot. And it never ran out. Here is the message, at least in part for us, that God never asks us to do what he will not enable us to do. The Lord Jesus tells us to follow him, to do it daily, and to make disciples of Christ. Well, we cannot do this alone, but with him we can do it. And why? Because he says, I will send you power, the Holy Spirit. In our Old Testament reading for this day, you find it comes from Jeremiah and the call of God on Jeremiah's life. And God says to him, from the womb I called you. Christian, you are called from the womb also. And Jeremiah was told, you're going to go off and you're going to speak to people and give them my word. And Jeremiah says, there's no way that I can do this. I am just young. I don't have anything to give. Well, he was young and he had nothing to give. But God gave him what he needed as Jeremiah trusted in him and in him alone. And so too, he will do the same thing for us as Christians. Naaman and the widow tell us a very simple and a very profound truth, that we must trust in and obey Christ, in Christ alone. And we must seek him and learn of him and keep our eyes on him. When God calls us to follow him, he supplies what we need to do his work. So there is no one, no circumstance in anyone's life that is beyond the reach of God and the power of God. Truly, nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate you from God's love and power. But we may only find that help through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his word alone. The key then is God has asked us to be his witnesses. This fills us with dread and horror, and we say we cannot do it. And we cannot do it alone, but through him, through his power, we may. There is nothing beyond the reach of God. There is no one beyond the reach of God. Go forth in his name, with your eyes fixed on him, and do the work that God has called you to do. Amen.